Happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to WWT Live as part of Women's Wrestling Talk. And I got a simple question for you. Could things change and happen on any given Sunday? Yeah, some of your favorite moments from Saturday could actually move. We'll talk about that. King and Queen of the Ring and much more. This is WWT Live.
This is the Draw the Death Machine, Sammy Callahan, and you are watching, you are listening, and you are supporting Women's Wrestling Talk. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Zero.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Happy Monday, family, and welcome to WWT Live as part of Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. I am, of course, Gerard Bonner, your professor, Teflon G, GB, pick a name. It's all good. And it's been a very full weekend in the space of pro wrestling. We're going to talk about all of that. And what does Sunday have to do with it? An awful lot. We'll get into that and more. But I am not alone. I am joined by a highly esteemed guest. Now, all the people who hang out with us are pretty important, but not all of them are elected governmental officials. Nor do they have interest in me. But he is officially here, the mayor of Vice City, and he's got the colors on. Those are the colors of the new attire coming out of the city. Is that right?
Yep, those shirts that will be hitting the streets and droves very soon. We had to honor our Vice City background here. So yeah,
yes.
It's an interesting weekend. Interesting weekend.
Very, very interesting weekend. How are you feeling?
Great. You know, if people didn't see, I was actually posting on social this weekend. I was at New Japan Resurgence.
Yes.
Very good show, cover to cover. Awesome. Very good crowd here in Ontario. They put on a great show. If you didn't catch it, it's a show you probably want to catch. The last man standing match with Gabe Kidd, Eddie Kingston was a great match. Wow. Shota and Moxley was a great performance. The women's match with Alex Windsor and Stephanie Vaquera was great as well. Definitely a pay-per-view you should catch. I'm mad that I missed the kickoff. I got there after the kickoff, so okay. I missed Lio Rush and Mustafa Ali.
Oh, but yeah.
I watched it back, and that was a great match, too.
Lots of cool things happening in New Japan, and I like what they continue to do here in the States. So if you guys get a chance to check it out, do that. You can do that right now on NJPW World. You can download. They've got a cool new mobile app, too, which it's been a long time coming, because if you've been a fan of that, you knew you could only watch on the web. So now having a mobile app that you can watch on your smart TV and all those things is super, super cool. Shout out to Cousin Ron, who's in the chat, as is Dylan. And, you know, Dylan is like always ahead of the game. It's already Tuesday where he is. And so that is pretty awesome indeed. All right. Now let's get into a lot of what we have to talk about today. First of all, when we left you on Friday, we were gearing up for the second half of the first round of the King and Queen of the Ring tournament on SmackDown. We saw three men's matches, three women's matches, and then there were additional matches that would happen on live events this weekend. And so we can kind of run through some of those. On the men's side, we saw Tama Tonga advance. Now, remember, he was originally scheduled to take on Bobby Lashley. Lashley was injured. And subbing for him would be Angelo Dawkins of the Pride. Tama Tonga would go on and get the win. Carmelo Hayes would defeat the debuting Baron Corbin. Two great matches there. Two guys formerly of NXT who are doing some really significant things right now. And then also on SmackDown on the men's side, Randy Orton ended the night by defeating AJ Styles, which kind of busted a number of our brackets in terms of what we thought could happen in the King of the Ring. And then the fourth match would happen on a live show, which we will tell you about in a little bit, was between LA Knight and Santos Escobar. What did you think of the matches on the men's side on SmackDown Friday?
I'm trying to figure out what they're pulling here. with the whole Tama advancing thing, but I mean, maybe we're setting up for the Pride to take on this new iteration of the Bloodline. I thought Baron Corbin and Melo was a phenomenal match, and like you said, busted brackets. I expected it to get AJ Styles versus Melo, but now we're getting Melo versus Orton, which is probably a dream match for Melo, which will be a really interesting contrast in styles. And I can't think of a better endorsement than getting a win over Randy Orton if they go that route. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think that's where my mind went immediately. So many injuries on both sides of the King and Queen tournaments. That's kind of putting a damper on things, but I mean, even I don't know. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but we have results from the Raw side of things as well from, I believe, just yesterday.
Yes. We'll be getting to all of the results from the live event shows over the weekend because injuries played a part in that as well. And it is interesting, the list of injuries that has caused different athletes in this tournament to have to withdraw in round one. So we'll get to some of that in just a little bit. On the women's side of things, we saw some very interesting moments happen Friday night. Nia Jax over Naomi, which that was really a pick'em and could have been arguably the match of the night, men or women, because those two absolutely
listen. Oh, Nia Jax out here selling Frankensteiners, man. Y'all said, yeah, y'all got to retract them statements when y'all said that she couldn't work, man.
Well, you know, that could be a theme of the night because both Nia Jax and Jade Cargill put in some incredible work Friday night. Jade Cargill getting the win over Piper Niven. Piper Niven did not hold back at all.
Yeah, Jade was selling. Real...
Yeah.
That's been their critique of her. She was selling. Like, made Piper look dominant.
Yeah, it was really quite impressive to see. So Nia and Jade Cargill, they both advance. Bianca Belair advances as well with her win in the first round. And then we also would end up, because we did not know coming into Friday night what the fourth match would be, it would be Mi Chin taking on Tiffany Stratton. And that too would happen at a live event show, which we will tell you guys about in a little bit. But your thoughts on the women's side on the SmackDown matches?
Mi Chin just taking all my favorite spots. You know what I'm saying? I'm noticing a trend here. She's going to take Blair's spot in the Queen of the Ring, going to take Lola's spot in the Performance Center. Do you call it? The Combine? Like, what's going on here? I see a pattern. But I think there was no surprise on the women's side. I have Nia going the distance, but the big surprise was the entire Big Three being entered in this tournament. I think there was a backstage segment with Jade and Bianca celebrating their wins. Like, hey, what if we both win again? Then we got to face each other. And they both had this like aha moment. So I believe the next round is actually Tiffany versus Bianca. And hey, I'm going to say the same thing I said for Melo. There's no bigger endorsement than getting a win over somebody of Bianca's stature for Tiffany if you really want to go that route and not push her to a title reign right now. So that might destroy every other match. That's going to be such a great match.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, there were those who also on the other side of it were looking at potentially before the Big Three was formed, a Jade Cargill Nia Jax match at WrestleMania this year. And given all that Nia had done, Jade had eliminated Nia from the Royal Rumble, et cetera, et cetera. But now we're going to be getting this here in the quarterfinals of the Queen of the Ring, which the trajectory that they have Jade on is amazing. And her path battling these powerful women, first Piper, now Nia Jax, it's going to be crazy to see how all of this goes. And I'll just ask and rip the Band-Aid off. Do you think the SmackDown Women's Final is Bianca versus Jade?
No. Too soon. Way too soon. And you completely undermine everything that is the women's tag team titles. We've seen this method before when they put Naomi and Sasha in singles matches while they were champions. We don't want to repeat that formula. So I think this is the perfect time to kind of rip the Band-Aid off and hand Jade, not some humble pie, but to give her a loss. Now, I'm of the belief that somebody cost her this loss. And I'm of the belief that Tiffany uses dirty tactics to beat Bianca. I think that's how we get there for both. They don't lose clean in either one, but they lose.
Yeah. I am with you. I think giving us Jade versus Bianca right now is a tragedy. It's a tragedy of the highest order. The tease is the win. You know, when they first passed each other between matches. And again, I am just so moved at what appears to be very, very genuine friendship and connection between Jade and Bianca. And so I love seeing that. I love how, you know, those that backstage situation, you know, where Bianca's talking about my knee and Jade's like my back. And then, you know, Bianca goes into, you know, all of that type of stuff. Like, it's just really great to see how they are working together. I definitely think you cannot have this match as massive of a magnitude as it is as a King of the Ring or Queen of the Ring tournament match. Like, that seems nuts. So it'd be flawed if they did that way. Oh man, it'd be crazy. And then we'd end up with it like on free TV. Like, that's just insane. But let's get to what happened this weekend, because there were four King and Queen of the Ring matches that happened at live event shows in both Chattanooga, Tennessee and Macon, Georgia. So on one hand, we had from the Raw side, Kofi Kingston battling Rey Mysterio. That was last night in Macon, Georgia. And also last night, we had Shayna Baszler, who was initially supposed to take on the reigning Queen of the Ring, Zelina Vega. The injury bug strikes again, and inserted into this space is Maxine Dupri. We also saw, in terms of winners, Kofi Kingston would win his match on the men's side, on the Raw side. And then in Chattanooga, LA Knight would get the win over Santos Escobar. On the women's side, Shayna Baszler in Macon last night defeats Maxine Dupri, and Tiffany Stratton gets the win over Mee Chin. Any thoughts on, well, before I ask about that, I want to get to some of the comments that have come over the last week about having King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring matches not on television. There have been people, even on Twitter, who have been saying this cheapens the King and Queen of the Ring and the like. But a certain LA Knight actually had a statement about this. He said it on Twitter, and he said very simply, "I appreciate everyone saying that this match should have been on TV, but there's no need to throw live event crowds under the bus. Live events are where the WWE roster has as much fun as possible. Not only having a great match, but a match with huge stakes makes the live event more fun. So let me ask you, do you think WWE did a good thing by having these King and Queen of the Ring matches happen at live events?"
I think it's amazing. I question like the age ranges of some of these people who are complaining online about this, because the golden age of wrestling, you would have all types of stuff happening at live events and they would report on it, even title changes. And I think you should get back to that, because that makes those people that buy money for those shows get a special moment, and it makes those tickets that they spent more valuable than to just get random thrown together segments. And the WWE superstars do have more fun because things can go off script like that, and you get something that only uniquely that you can see there. So I think they should even start doing more title changes at live events, because it just adds it. We're in a social media age. There's a way that you're going to be able to see it somehow, because they're always going to film stuff for WWE social media.
Yes.
So it just makes sense. I mean, one of the best moments I saw from, is it Macon, Georgia?
Yes.
Okay. Is R-Truth interrupting Austin Theory's entrance?
Yeah.
Getting into that whole spat saying, "Hey, you're not the Miz." Mm-hmm. That's great. Stuff like that happening at live events, this is what pro wrestling is about. Creating moments, creating lasting moments any day of the week.
Yeah, you know, here's what's interesting, and you're right. I do think that most people feel as though if it's not on TV, then nothing significant is going to happen. Most people say that. So I think having these kinds of matches with national stakes, and I'm not even going into MDB, who I saw over there, who wants a womp. He look at what he said. He said, a match with huge stakes, should I bring a plate? Oh, my Lord. This is kind of dad humor. But seriously, I think a match that has significance to it is something that makes people go to the arena going, okay, I'm anticipating this is not just going to be a throwaway match. There's something connected to this. And so one of the things that happens, especially now, and you're right, there are always cameras at live events. They're always reporting things that you can't plan. I went to a recent live event in Augusta a couple of months ago, right before WrestleMania. And there's this clip from there that it literally went viral. Cody Rhodes comes out, and there's a young kid who is wearing who had a jacket made just like Cody's current entrance jacket. Cody picks the kid up over the guardrail, puts him on the entrance with him, and they both do the woe together. And like that thing went viral. It was amazing. But those are the kinds of things that happen at your live events. You know, you think about the clip of Mommy doing the stink face. That came from a live event. And that right. ended up getting worked into, you know, the current road to WrestleMania between Becky Lynch and Mommy. And Becky Lynch obviously was very upset about that. So I think these are great, great opportunities. And a little history for people who don't remember. The moment that legitimately shook the wrestling world, when Hulk Hogan won the WWE Championship against the Iron Sheik, that was not at a WrestleMania. That was not at a pay-per-view. That was at a live event in Madison Square Garden. And so, you know, all of these title changes and these big events that people expect to solely happen at PLEs, when you have them set up for live events, it makes people want to go to the live event because you don't want to miss that. You don't want to catch that on social media. So I think there's something to that. And I'm really glad that LA Knight went and responded to it. There's a lot happening over here in the chat, and I want to make sure I recognize as much of it as I can. Though most of it admittedly is MDB, just being MDB. Let's see. Cousin Ron says Nia was highly impressive. And, you know, I don't think she's getting the credit she deserves. Ever since she's come back to WWE, she's really been top tier. Like, she has been putting in some incredible work.
I would argue she's been the most viral person of this Queen of the Ring tournament. A lot of her clips are surfacing of her just having these random shenanigans in the match at live events. Yeah.
Oh, she's amazing at live events. The things that she does, they're absolutely hilarious. Cousin Ron says, hoping they have decent plans for Corbin outside of the tournament. He looked great, by the way. If there was going to be a shocker, I would have had Corbin beat Melo. That would have been a shocker. And I'm not sure where we would have been with that. Boza says, we almost had a case where the big three could have occupied three of the four spots, if not for Nia. And that was certainly very, very possible. Let's see. The actual boot she caught Piper with was stiff, indeed. Eric, good to see you. Good evening, gentlemen. King and Queen of the Tournament has been awesome so far. It really has. I would argue that this has been the best King of the Ring tournament they've given us ever. And I don't think that's an overstatement at all. Let's see. Boza says, he'll never give that up. Lola Vice not making the top 12 of the NXT Women's Combine. And speaking of that,
how it makes sense, Boza. You tell me how a professional fighter can't even be invited to a combine. How does
that
make sense?
Hilarious. Meechin for the North American title. That's a possibility. Let's see what else we have here. An MDB comment with no womp is history. Well, that's not the kind of history we want to make. So let's remind everyone of the comment, shall we? A match with huge stakes. Shall I bring a plate? Yeah, so you can put this womp on it. There you go.
The kid and ear in the wrong spots. They need to be switched.
He did what?
You got to switch the K and the E, I believe. Wrong type of stakes.
It's precise.
K E.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, and that's why I didn't even want to acknowledge it, because I'm like, those aren't even the right stakes. Let's see. Special Little Nobodies. Naya has been working hard since her return. Very entertaining. I agree. and feel better. There's your want. There you go. We see you. We see you. All right. So that's some interesting things happening there with the King and Queen of the Ring. And speaking of King and Queen of the Ring, of course, that is the next premium live event for WWE, which will happen, I guess, now, two Saturdays from now, a week from this Saturday. And we've gotten very used to a number of things happening on Saturdays, including this main event, which I do want to spend some time talking about. We found out, and we kind of got tipped to it Friday before we left the air, that we could be seeing Logan Paul as the next challenger for Cody Rhodes. We find out right at the start of SmackDown that indeed it is Cody Rhodes versus Logan Paul. But what I'm not understanding, and what has been kind of confusing, Logan Paul obviously made the assumption that he's fighting for the WWE Championship and that he'd be Logan two belts. But Cody suggested that he could be wearing both belts. Everywhere I'm seeing says champion versus champion, but I don't necessarily see title for title. Are we in a scenario where both titles could potentially be on the line here? And if so, what's happening here?
You know what? I think Cody actually tweeted out two belts, or Cody two belts, or something like
that.
Yeah,
he did.
So it is kind of confusing. I think that's the part that's, I think that's at least overshadowed the backlash that Cody is giving a title match to Logan Paul. But I think people should be used to that by now. If you have a overseas Saudi show, usually Logan Paul is going to be in a prominent spot. He's a prominent fixture on those shows. If you remember,
right,
Roman gave him a random title match during the whole Bloodline saga. So I think it'll be a good showcase. We can't deny that Logan's a great wrestler. And of course, I think I said this months ago, that this man is holding that title through SummerSlam and likely dropping it in his hometown of Cleveland. Don't know against who yet, but I think that's the case. So I'm not sure how this match necessarily goes, because I don't think either guy can take a pin.
Right.
I don't think either guy can. You have to protect both. So for this to be the main event, you don't want to have a main event if you're going to have a main event have a dusty finish, it would be overseas. So I guess I can't say that. But we know Cody's not dropping the belt. But I think they do have to define the fact that the U.S. title is not on the line here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's no need for Cody to have two belts throughout the rest of the year.
No. I mean, I think if you put both belts on Cody, you automatically start the fans turning against him. And I think you really want to be careful with that, because right now Cody seems to be the babyface champion. And it's the first time we've had a babyface world champion on the WWE side, for quite some time. Seth, of course, being the world heavyweight champion, kind of a different lineage there. So this is interesting to see, and I do hope that they bring some clarity to this, because, again, the idea of both titles being on the line, we obviously know the WWE title should be on the line, but the U.S. title as well. I don't know. I don't know. I would want them to be very, very careful. Let's see.
Interesting comments in the chat here. People really believe that Logan is going to be a future world champion?
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. Boza says Cody wants to be title for title, so in reality, he can be Cody three belts. He already is the WWE and Universal Champion. Well, okay, let me help you with that. There is no more Universal Champion. It is just the WWE Champion, which, again, anytime you unify anything, you don't necessarily need both. And in this case, they dropped the whole Universal piece, which is fine. MDB says Logan deserves a title match. Dylan says Logan Paul will be WWE Champion, so he may as well get title shots sooner than later. That's interesting. Boza says, funny enough, last time WWE was in Saudi, Logan stole the U.S. championship and only defended it twice. See, Dylan says it's not Lucha Logan's choice when to defend the titles. He doesn't book the shows. Fair enough. Let's see. MDB turned against Cody when he wasn't wearing knee pads. It doesn't take much for you, huh? Wow. Okay. Let's see. Boza says, I can't stand Logan. Wished Honey was there. If you guys caught Honey SmackDown, her reaction was just like mine, frustrated. Oh, man, oh, man, oh,
I don't
man.
Think so, the company is... Okay, I don't. I'm not going to say they're not high on Logan Paul. I think they know what he brings as far as viewership and a younger audience. But like, as far as a world champion, I don't see it because I don't think that they view him like that. As much as like, I can without a doubt say that Austin Theory would be a future world champ. I just think they're trying to build steps to get him into that spot and remain there because every time they give him a slight edge, fans turn on it. So yeah. I think they have plans for him more so than a Logan Paul.
It's interesting. I think I saw something on Twitter or so that talked about the top 10 most followed WWE stars on Instagram. And number two was Roman Reigns at like 8.9 million. But Logan Paul was number one by leaps and bounds, like 27 million followers on Instagram. So
are we clearly, counting The Rock?
I don't think they were counting The Rock in that.
Yeah,
but
they're not counting The Rock then.
But let's look at this here because I can tell us about what The Rock is doing. The Rock, yeah, they're obviously not counting The Rock because he's way more than that. So yeah, it's interesting to see how that looks. Let's see. If Logan gets a reign, it's because of the business relationship with WWE. We have to remember Logan was given the right dance partners in the beginning. And now, Boza, let's be fair, man. You know, I'm going to go here because I saw a lot of this about Jade Cargill this weekend as well, where everybody was trying to give all the credit in that match to Piper Niven. And I'm just like, guys, you have to be able to acknowledge that it is the responsibility of both parties to do well in a match. Do I need to take you back to Goldberg and The Undertaker in Saudi, where Goldberg nearly killed The Undertaker, right? And Goldberg also speared himself and cracked his head open into the turn post. The Logan Paul that's getting the shot at Cody Rhodes today is not the Logan Paul that got the shot at Roman Reigns. And in all of these cases, you cannot go back and find a bad Logan Paul match. As much as we might not like how Logan Paul has gotten, you can't, you know, and that's the hard thing here. So we're going to say all of his partners were great and he had nothing to do with it. So, yeah, okay. Rey Mysterio, Dominic Mysterio, The Miz, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Ricochet, we're putting him in there with all of these people. He's got to be able to hold his weight. So I think we've got, and they've done it on the biggest stages they've had to offer. WrestleMania, SummerSlam. He's been doing all this PLE work. So we may not like Logan Paul as a person. You may not like how we got here, but you cannot deny this man went 20 minutes with Roman Reigns. Most of us couldn't do three. Like, let's be honest here. This is not just some random guy who came off the street and is getting shots because he has a lot of money. He backs it up in the ring. And so, again, we're not required to like every person that gets in the ring, but we do have to give them honor and respect for what they do, considering he is not stinking up the joint at all. If he's doing this at this level, he would run circles around anybody in independent wrestling right now. I mean, we just have to be honest about that. He is doing this on a very unique level. He's putting in work. He's putting in work. Cousin Ron, you said it there. I don't like him, but he's putting in work. He is. So it'll be very, very interesting to watch. Now, I hope you all are enjoying watching these pay-per-views or these premium live events on Saturday. Because over the weekend, Dana White was involved in a press conference following a UFC event that happened over the weekend. Of course, we know the connection right now between the UFC and WWE. They are literally sisters and brothers. They are sibling companies at this point because very simply, they are all under the same ownership with TKO being kind of in charge of all things WWE and UFC. So he was asked at a press conference about the possibility of WWE premium live events returning to Saturdays. And he set up a model that has a lot of talking. His model said this. He said, we already have those dates set up right now where Power Slap happens on a Friday, then UFC happens on Saturday, and then Sunday WWE. We'll start seeing that soon. He didn't give us a date or anything like that. But the question now is this. Obviously, WWE PLEs used to be on Sundays religiously. It was only the last couple of years where they changed to Saturdays. What are your thoughts? Does it even matter if these PLEs are on Saturdays versus Sundays, or do you have a preference?
I've always liked the Sunday model. Maybe that's just the old school wrestling fan in me, but it just makes sense, especially when you have the winds of change with professional sports, where in the offseason football, you have football off for, 5 months of the year, then you can look forward to having a Sunday event. So I think it's perfect. I don't know how popular the Power Slap is, but I mean, if they have a block where you can have the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, why not? I think it bodes a question for, I guess, how they'll move things around. Like, I think there was times where NXT PLEs would still be, or used to be, Saturday nights. I wonder if they would move that back to Saturday nights, or how that would affect things, since they're not really seen as one of the main shows. But moving all the major events back to Sunday, I like that way better than the Saturday format we currently have.
Okay. Let's see what some people are saying over here about Saturday versus Sunday PLEs. MDB says, I miss the Sunday PLEs. Boza says it would be 2025 at the earliest if that happens. It doesn't matter to me if they are on Sunday. I like them on Sundays as well. He also says it felt like to me they were on Saturdays at the request of Peacock due to football season doing very well for them. Yeah, I don't agree with that because football's not all year. So, yeah. Let's see. What else?
And football almost like during the football season, we're almost at like, they air football games on so many random days now. So I think that's
really, they do. And then if you're talking, and that's specifically NFL, if you're talking about college football, that's head to head on Saturdays. So that's also interesting. Speaking of the partnership, is it time for a physical Hall of Fame, perhaps adjacent to the UFC one? This is a conversation that I think is long overdue. And maybe, just maybe, with the new ownership, maybe that'll be a possibility. I will say this, that I felt like the exhibit, and it's not even fair to call it an exhibit because it's open all the time now. They call it WWE Experience. That's now over in Saudi Arabia. I felt like that should have been here in the States, and that should be the WWE Hall of Fame. You know, a place where people can go to experience all of the WWE kinds of things. I also think if they build a specific Hall of Fame space, that they should incorporate a space there large enough to do their Hall of Fame inductions. I don't think Hall of Fame inductions need to happen right after SmackDown in an arena. It's not that kind of setting. And I don't know that you necessarily need fans there. You can have them there. Let that be kind of an exclusive perk of something. But if we're going to do it like, you know, other sports have their Halls of Fame, they do it in the cities where the Hall of Fame is located. So just my two cents. What are your thoughts? Should there be a physical Hall of Fame for WWE?
I'm curious. Okay, so I know that's like a big talking point a lot of the time. I think somebody recently asked Christian Cage about his thoughts about not being inducted yet. He said he doesn't care because there's no Hall of Fame. So when people say that, people are looking for a physical Hall of Fame. And that makes me think of the NFL, where their Hall of Fame is in Canton, Ohio, where they have the bust of each Hall of Fame entry. So I guess my question and lack of understanding is, like, what would a WWE Hall of Fame feature? Would it be like bust? Would it just be like ring gear? Like, what do fans want to see in this Hall of Fame that is worthy of buying a ticket to go check it out? Because I think that would be the whole selling point for WWE, is like, why would this be entry worthy? Like, why would this be a spectacle to go view? Like you're saying, the WWE Experience, would it be like kind of like how they set up the WWE Access every year around Mania time, Rumble time, SummerSlam time? Would it be like this big experience that's just there year round? Or like, how would it differ from that, is my question.
Yeah. See, in my mind, I feel like it absolutely should be something like that. I think honestly, you know, there's this show that they have, and I don't want to jump too far ahead, on A&E called Most Wanted Treasures. They're collecting all of these things for a reason. So yeah. To me, you've got plenty of things that you can have there in the museum. It also makes me think of, you know, like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum, where based on certain things that are happening, certain times of the year, they have certain exhibits that they're doing there. So they could easily do, you know, certain exhibits based on certain time frames, certain stories that happen, certain careers. They could even do this where, you know, how like right now The Undertaker has his one man show and all these kinds of things. They could set up specific things where, you know, we're going to have a Q&A with Paul Heyman on this particular day and discuss. I think it's wide open what they can do. And there are so many things they could do with it that could still be separate from what happens at your WWE World, you know, which was formerly Access at WrestleMania. I think it's something that could make money all year long. And I love this thought here. We need a WWE New York back. We totally do. That restaurant I thought was amazing. You know, the question is how, and I think this is the challenge for WWE, is how you make something like that, which is standalone, consistently make money. You know, what remains the allure of it? And I think these days they have enough things that they can do to help make that work. You know, they've got years and years of history, years and years of exhibits, all sorts of things that they can do. Let's see. MDB says maybe WWE World will be the physical Hall of Fame that can be visited yearly. Yeah, I think there needs to be a specific location for that. What's the Hall of Fame without the fans? Might as well make it an email. Have you ever been to a Hall of Fame ceremony? They and I say that because I stopped going. There was a time I would go as often as I could, but they got so long at one point where it was just like, okay, there's no wrestling. I appreciate the conversations and talking, but 5 hours of this. And so that's where they ended up cutting it short. They've obviously made some adjustments over time. I'm just saying you can have fans come if you're going to have it at your Hall of Fame. It would just obviously not necessarily be big enough for 15,000 fans, which is okay. You know, if it's big enough for 5,000 fans, that would work and all of those kinds of things. So, yeah, it I think would be very, very interesting. But we'll see when this comes into play for WWE in terms of things moving to a Sunday PLE. Because WWE does those PLEs monthly, I don't think UFC has a monthly schedule, do they?
They're about to be. Usually they have some type of event every Saturday. So I think that's why it's moving to that model, because gotcha. They're set up to go almost every Saturday. It's rare that there's not one.
Okay. Well, that would be interesting for sure. And I think we're going to really start to see how these two companies under the same umbrella will really be a thing. So moving from the WWE, a very interesting announcement has come out over the last few days about the NWA. So if you'll remember, the NWA, when they signed on with the CW, they signed on to have NWA Power on the CW, but there was also talk of a potential reality show. But we now know what that reality show is. It is an 8-episode unscripted series called Billy Corgan's Adventures in Carnyland. Now, what does all of this mean? It's really going to look at the road of Billy Corgan purchasing the NWA and how he can make the NWA successful. This is very interesting because it is going to showcase as well his time spent, of course, with the Smashing Pumpkins and some current things that are going on with the NWA. This actually premieres tomorrow, and in it premiering tomorrow, all 8 episodes will premiere on the CW app. It'll also be on the CW website, which is located at CWTV.com. So I want to get your thoughts. What do you think of a new unscripted series in wrestling, this time with the NWA?
I think just the term unscripted always catches people's eyes. So they think immediately think like what they're going to find out, what they're going to see that maybe they weren't previously known. But I think anything that can help continue to brand the NWA organization can be helpful. So
yeah,
I think it's interesting that that it is going to be kind of like unscripted. You get to see a little bit more. It is a docuseries, so, and it's going to tie in right with their live program right afterwards. So might have to check this out.
Yeah, I think this will be very, very interesting. You know, prior to NWA Power and, you know, this deal with the CW, I think one of the things that the NWA did very well was to really help reestablish the importance of the NWA and the NWA World Championship with a series called 10 Pounds of Gold. That series on YouTube was amazing, and it showed the journey of the NWA Championship from Tim Storm winning that title to Nick Aldis winning that title, even Cody Rhodes. It really did a good job in placement of a weekly regular television show for the NWA. It was shot well, it told great stories, and it really got you invested in the NWA again. I think any type of non-wrestling content that you can put in front of people always attracts more viewers to your actual wrestling content. Kind of like what we saw with OVW and them getting that unscripted series on Netflix. You know, getting into places where people don't normally see you will obviously give more people an opportunity to watch what you're doing. So I'm intrigued to see how this is going to look. I'm interested in the title, Billy Corgan's Adventures in Carnyland. Who will be kind of the main players, right? Will this be more about Billy Corgan, or will this be about the NWA? And I think that's going to be interesting for me to watch and see. I definitely will be paying attention because I like things like this. We get to learn an awful lot. And what's also interesting is, and I say this carefully, well, I'll reserve my judgment for when we actually see the show. I know the times that I've seen Billy Corgan on our television screens, there are more charismatic people on our TV screens than Billy Corgan, at least from when we have seen him. So maybe he might present something different in this that'll make us go, ooh, I really want to watch Billy Corgan, which is why I asked the question, you know, if he's going to end up being the main character, even though he's right smack in the middle of this flyer, or is he perhaps using his name and his weight that is carried with the Smashing Pumpkins to kind of open this door and people end up focusing more on the Carnyland than Billy Corgan himself? I don't know, but we'll certainly see as it premieres again tomorrow on the CW. So hopefully I'll get to watch it. And if I do, maybe we'll talk a little bit about it on Wednesday to see what we have learned from this. But I do say congratulations to the NWA on this. You know, they had a little bit of controversy when the CW deal was announced because it felt like it was supposed to be on TV. Then that seemingly got yanked. And now they're on the app with Power. So it's interesting. We'll see what happens. But congratulations to them. And I'm interested to see where they start this story so I can know how far, you know, to catch up. So congratulations to the NWA. Now, I alluded to the WWE on A&E. They have a number of shows on there. One of their more popular shows has been their biography show, WWE Biography. It has been really, really exciting to see and hear all of the stories that have happened. And it feels like the last season, which I think was season 4, just ended right before WrestleMania with that amazing presentation on Roman Reigns. Well, surprise, at least to my surprise, WWE Legends biography will be back on Sunday, May the 26th. So following King and Queen of the Ring on May the 25th, you'll have the debut of the next season of WWE Legends. And they've been telling some amazing stories. And we do know who will be featured on these episodes. They will include looks at the careers of Mark Henry, Eddie Guerrero, The Miz, Ricky Steamboat, Rob Van Dam, Ted DiBiase, the Steiner Brothers, Trish Stratus, Becky Lynch, and Paul Heyman. Plus, there will be episodes on Stone Cold's final match as well as ECW. What are your thoughts on this list of topics for WWE biography beginning May the 26th?
These are so good, so thought-provoking, and I can't wait to watch them. Like, the Roman Reigns one was done so well, and then so many others preceding that one, but immediately hearing the Steiner brothers kind of have their story told. Like, if you haven't watched a classic Steiner brothers match, you're missing out. Just being able to relive that is going to be fun. And then I think it's cool that we still see people that are not, if you want to say they're not in their prime, but still active wrestlers, like seeing mm-hmm. Becky Lynch kind of have her story told, because this whole title reign was unplanned. And yeah. to my knowledge, she still hasn't re-signed. So maybe that will tie right. into some stuff with this whole documentary. So it's going to be really good. I think they do a very good job, and I'm glad this partnership is continuing.
I am too. You know, one of the things that I've always said is that WWE tells stories unlike anyone else. And I've always marveled at, you know, their documentaries, whether it was 365 or some of the other ones that they had on the WWE network. Nobody tells a story like them. So I am absolutely ecstatic about this topic. Or the list of topics. And again, A&E has always done a great job of telling stories. Them partnering with WWE has only given us amazing, amazing magic. So again, May the 26th. And let's look at some of these comments. Dylan says, Mark Henry is an interesting one, considering where he is right now. You know, here's the thing, and I like this. I think it's always cool when you're able to acknowledge a person's contributions. And again, the bulk of his wrestling career happened in WWE. And I'm glad that WWE is willing to do that, and that AEW would be kind enough to partner to allow their talent to be a part of that. Mark Henry should be a good episode. So should the Steiner brothers. One of my favorite Steiner brothers matches, Cousin Ron mentioned Steiner versus Luger and Sting at Great American Bash. I remember their match, I think it was 91, if my memory serves me right. It was at one of the Super Brawls. It was the Steiners versus Luger and Sting, and it was game-changing. And Nikita Koloff interfered in that match, and that started that insane war between Nikita Koloff and Sting. And so if you guys get a chance to go back and check that out, It still stands the test of time. An amazing match. And this was, again, back when you didn't have a lot of good guys against good guys. So this was awesome. Dylan says Becky has 3 weeks until her contract is up. And let's see. Season 5 does look good. I agree. Yeah, I thought that might have been the one you meant. It was game-changing. 91 was a great year. That was the year you were born. That's awesome. Don't mind me, because I'm a history guy. So I go back, I watch all the old stuff. It's like a steel trap here. Don't worry about that. Steiner Brothers versus Varsity Club. Those were some good matches. If you're unfamiliar with the Varsity Club, man, you're talking Captain Mike Rotundo. You're talking Kevin Sullivan. And even at that time, if my memory serves me, I think Dr. Death Steve Williams was with them as well. So do yourself a favor. Go back, if you've got the WWE Network on Peacock, just go and do some research. I go through there time to time, and I'll go back and watch some things. And it's kind of amazing, because there are names that we've heard of, but when you actually get to see some of their matches, it's game-changing. It really, really is. And you start to really see just how far the pro wrestling business has come. So definitely check that out. It is pretty awesome. From there, speaking of contracts, everybody's talking about Becky's contract and the like. Well, you'd be interested in knowing that the current world heavyweight champion, Damian Priest, he has recently re-signed, but his re-signing was very, very interesting, because it came shortly after he won the world heavyweight championship at WrestleMania. So the sources say that they always planned on re-signing Damian Priest, and they spoke with him officially before they reached a new deal. So his new deal is apparently a multi-year contract. And obviously, we don't know all of the specifics in terms of money and the like. But I will say this, and I've been saying this ever since everybody was talking about Drew McIntyre and whether or not he would resign. I don't see anybody whose contracts are nearing expiration in WWE. I don't see them going anywhere else, particularly if they're a top star. And as a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if their deal has already been reached. It just hasn't been announced yet.
That's usually what happens.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that it's always something that they don't, they probably don't want leaked or anything like that. Right. Handshake, verbal deals.
Yeah, I totally agree that there's no way that these deals are coming up and these people in WWE aren't aware. There's absolutely no way. So I'm pretty sure that we'll hear it when it's time to hear it. We didn't even know that Damian Priest's contract was almost up as he went into WrestleMania and won the world title. So I think it just goes to show that WWE, again, knows how to keep certain things close to the vest, which I think is necessary. We don't have to know everything. Like, it's not that kind of party at all. All right, moving forward. This is interesting. Zilla Fatu, the son of Umaga. Of course, we've followed some things with him from his time in Reality of Wrestling to leaving Reality of Wrestling, coming back to Reality of Wrestling. And he recently did an interview with Joey Franchise from Fightful. And he said something very, very interesting. And you can kind of take this for what it's worth. He was asked where he would like to go because currently he is an independent wrestler. Here's what he said. He says, WWE, that's the main one. He says, my family has a long history with WWE. So at the same time, I don't want to be the first Fatu or Anoa'i to go to AEW. I don't want to break that cycle. But it just has to make sense because everybody's journey is different. My story is way different from Solo's and the Usos and Roman's and Jacob's. So my story, another chapter. And I'm sitting on another side of the table. These are his intentions. But what do you think will actually happen? Do you think that Zilla Fatu will end up signing with WWE or will he make his way, say, to AEW first?
I think there's... What it sounded like, it sounds like they have like a... They're paying homage to their ancestors, those before him, when he says he doesn't want to break the cycle. So there's a definite trend in the family and a relationship with the WWE, WWF that expanded for decades for the family. So to break that tradition might be frowned upon in the family. We don't know how the family views that. We don't know if even AEW has reached out to maybe try to speak with Zilla or other members of the Anoa'i or Fatu family. So I think what he's doing is kind of planning, looking ahead and trying to honor his family's legacy, honor the legacy of his father, which was laid and set and is acknowledged in WWE. So I think good for him to kind of have that foreshadowing and that knowledge there. But I mean, if AEW did come with a, maybe this has nothing to do with money either. Let me start there. Probably has nothing to do with money. Maybe they'd have or will come with a boatload of money if he continues to exhibit his talent on the independent cycle. But I think he knows where he wants to be and knows how much this bloodline story means for reasons outside of money and entertainment. And it's just like, hey, putting this family on the map as a staple of wrestling for generations to come.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think eventually you might see him in WWE. I think it's just going to take whatever time. And him getting back with Booker in Reality or Wrestling, I think that plays a big part as well. They had their little falling out, but now he's back with Booker. He'll get that mentorship and training to have the right pipeline.
I think it will be very, very interesting to watch, certainly as the bloodline continues to grow in WWE. And obviously, we have been seeing other members of the bloodline outside of WWE, but they've been in more independent spaces, certainly not AEW or anything like that. So this will be interesting to see what would happen. Dylan says, AEW would be crazy not to reach out to any of the members of the Anoa'i family. Yeah, I think it's a smart play to make just to see if any of them will bite. But I think, you know, as it has certainly become public, the relationship that the WWE has with the Anoa'i family, I wonder how they would be looked upon, you know, if someone went over to AEW. But again, I think it depends on the offer and where a person is. You know, the question now is there room in WWE right now for Azilla Fatu? That's a massive question. How large do they want the bloodline to be on television? You know, do they want an almost NWO-like situation in terms of size?
Oh, God.
Or, you know what I mean? Because if there's a family
NWO are we talking about?
Right? You know, so it could be very interesting. So we'll certainly see, but we'll keep our eyes peeled on all that's happening with Zilla Fatu. All right, one more. I think we're doing really well here tonight. And that is with this guy, John Moxley, who is the current IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, successful title defense over the weekend. And he had a recent conversation with Sports Illustrated, where he asked about his legacy. You know, what does he want his legacy to be and what does this look like? And he says, you have no idea of where to classify me, but you can't ignore me. So you're going to have to give me my own space. I like that. So I got to ask you, man, what do you think the legacy of John Moxley is in the sport of pro wrestling?
I love that quote so much because it's so factual. And I thought about you this weekend while I was watching the Mox match, because Mox, we had that conversation about, and I think Marie was on, like, does Mox help or hurt New Japan with the title because they're not able to build new stars? And before the match would show, they showed the whole program they were having, and that everybody would be surprised if Shota went over on Mox, except for Mox, because Mox says he knows how good he is. So I think it's leading up to that building of the new star. And you have Mox at the forefront of your brand to put somebody like that over for the next generation. There's this whole thing, if you watch New Japan, where Shota is claiming himself as the new ace in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So I think with Mox, he has kind of transcended that space where, you know, his WWE career, he's probably been the strongest hand in AEW, and he can also be the face of New Japan at any time. He's global, like legitimately global, where he's wrestling on different soil in the world. And you can't say that about everybody. Whether you love his work or not, he does have his own wing of wrestling lore, because he's Mr. I'll pull up and go anywhere. I'll go to GCW and do a death match. I'll go to an independent cycle. Like, I'll show up anywhere and wrestle. And there's no wrestlers that really do that. So he does have his own wing that he's kind of built. And I think for him, I think he's a pro wrestler at their core. He's not not affiliated to a brand. He's just John Moxley.
I love it. I love it. And it is really significant. I think there's a conversation that needs to be had about, and I did a video a couple of weeks ago about potentially the greatest faction ever. And I assert that we have to have the Shield in this conversation, because if you look at what those three men have done in this business, they are literally running the business right now. You know, they are running the business. You had obviously Seth Rollins, first NXT champion, multi-time world champion, first world heavyweight champion. Of course, you have Roman Reigns. We all know what he has done. 9 WrestleMania main events, you know, 4th longest WWE title reign ever. And then you've got this guy, John Moxley, the only man to hold the WWE, AEW, and IWGP World Heavyweight Championships. That's insane. That is insane. A 3-time AEW World Champion. This guy literally has kept that company on his back. So I think his legacy, I think, could reflect something that Boza has said over here. And Boza says he gambled on himself and he was successful. And I think that arguably could be the legacy of John Moxley, is that he was willing to say no to big money and go and establish himself. And he did that in an unbelievable way. Cousin Ron says, how many can say that they've held 3 world titles in 3 major companies? Nobody in the business can say that they've held those 3 championships. No one.
Yeah.
So it's really, really amazing to see.
Maybe not your crossover appeal type of person, but people that watch pro wrestling, you know who John Moxley is. And I think you'll know that for generations to come.
And I think that's a great, great thing. A couple of things before we get out of here. For one, today happens to be the 5-year anniversary of the very first time that we would see The Fiend on WWE television. If you'll remember, it was a couple of weeks ago where we celebrated the 5-year anniversary of the Firefly Funhouse. And that was all leading up to the revealing of The Fiend. And when we saw this, I'll never forget that night. I just was like, what am I seeing? This is creepy and it's great all at the same time. And so it does make you wonder if, you know, all of the attention that's been paid to the QR codes and all of those things and all the details, if that will mean something could happen tonight. I don't know. I highly doubt that they're going to wait all the way until an Extreme Rules kind of pay-per-view. Can't see that happening because it seems to be a little bit later on the calendar. So I don't know. Do you think something happens to commemorate 5 years of The Fiend tonight?
If there is, I think there'll be like another QR code type of message. I think there was one in the intro of SmackDown recently. Alexa Bliss, yes. I saw you posting in the chat. She said, just you wait. So they're building towards something. But even thinking about our conversation a little earlier about the WWE Hall of Fame, that would be great. Says, I know the creator of this mask, he built like this whole animatronic like robot of the next iteration of The Fiend. New mask, right. Fully functional. Seeing that live would be worth the price of admission if there was a WWE Hall of Fame.
I totally agree. That would be incredible. Let's see. So speaking of incredible, and this is probably a cool way to wrap up the show, Willow Nightingale has been in the news for a couple of reasons. For one, it was announced Saturday that she's got a TBS title match ahead of Double or Nothing. And it's going to be in, of all places, Stardom, at Stardom's Flashing Champions event. And it's going to see her battling Tam Nakano for that title on Saturday, May the 18th, which you can watch at We Are Stardom and their streaming service. But today, she made a guest appearance in a very, very special place. Check this out. Absolutely awesome. Like,
that's amazing.
Absolutely awesome, man. What are
we've seen people go and hit the wrestling club before, and what Mr. Perry is doing is absolutely awesome, amazing, and I hope it just continues to expand. Cody sent the kids to WrestleMania. I just hope that you see that club grow so much nationwide, and you get like different regions of the wrestling club across the nation. And that these wrestlers continue to reach out, because that's what it's all about. I think everybody who's a wrestling fan was a kid that wished they had experiences like that growing up. And just to be able to give those kids that experience like readily, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It is incredible. Victor Perry is out there doing the Lord's work, man. And it is wonderful to see. I can only imagine how, you know, when all of us were in school, if we ever met a wrestler, it'd be insane. But having them show up in our classroom, yeah,
right.
That would have been the reaction for sure. And Boza says, stuff like this is why I pray she beats Mercedes at Double or Nothing. She is so over having the run of her career. And it's interesting because, you know, the Wrestling Club, big fans of Mercedes as well. So I think they're going to be wildly divided come Double or Nothing, which I think is going to be pretty amazing. Now, there's some other interesting comments here that I want to get to. Dylan says, I'm sick of these QR codes. We need a debut or someone showing up in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Well, we'll see. I'm okay with the build right now.
Because you don't want to dilute anything. I don't believe you should dilute anything, because we just had the draft. The rosters are locked. We're post-Mania, so we're in a new season, and we're building towards SummerSlam, which would be the biggest show. And we have these overseas shows going right now. Things are great. I just don't know if a debut would put a damper on things, because then you're going to expect somebody to do something in the ring. And who do you have if you debut? Are you attacking somebody? Is it just going to be completely random? What story are you trying to tell? Right now, the story is that we're getting tea leaves of what's to come. Mm-hmm. We're being grasped by that. We're going down the rabbit hole of what it could be. And we kind of know in our mind because we've seen it before, but we don't know what it's going to look like. And that's why it's engaging.
Yeah. You know, the other thing about that I think is so interesting is, you know, there's all of this talk that it could be multiple people. You know, it could be a whole faction. They've never done, and I have to really think about this, but they've never really done a space where someone not just left the company, but passed away. And they went on and continued their thought process behind the thing. So this is, they have to get this right, because it has to be able to stand on its own. And it has to be the kind of story, you know, it kind of reminds me of when.
It's so delicate.
It is so delicate. Because
you don't want fans to turn on it or anything like that.
Right. Or to think that it is something that's diluted from what the original plan was, which we may never know what the original plan was. It felt like we were just getting the beginnings of this story, you know, when everything kind of went awry. And like, for instance, you know, when Rey Mysterio won the Royal Rumble and won the world title, many felt like that was kind of a tribute to Eddie and that type of thing. But we ultimately ended up loving Rey Mysterio for being Rey Mysterio. He was a legend before all of that happened. I think we're in a space now where, you know, the Uncle Howdy thing was being built off the back of Bray Wyatt. So will this be strong enough to build? It's still going to all be built off the back of Bray Wyatt. But at some point, it's got to be able to last, because we have interest in it. And now I'm going to go to a different company and think about this, but it kind of reminds me of what happened with the Dark Order in AEW. You know, here it was, Brody Lee ends up becoming the leader. They do well under him. He passes away, and it never really had the same feel to it after he left, you know? So I think there's obviously a point where people are emotionally invested because, you know, of their connection to the person that passed away. But the question is, will that be strong enough to keep this going? Only time will tell, which is why they will want to take their time on this. I think that is extremely important. And I thought I saw DJ Magic J in here. Good to see you, sir. Mox versus Roman versus Seth. That would be a great match. Not sure if it'll ever happen, but it would be something ideal for sure. Eric says, Willow Nightingale is a true sweetheart to the kids, and she totally is. Dylan says, where is Negative One? Probably in school, where he should be right now. and when he gets time, maybe he'll show up perhaps in the summertime, but he should be at school. Dylan says also, if you have the QR codes every week, it gets tired quick. Space them out, if anything. I disagree.
I think it's where they're putting them at. That makes you think, because I think they're putting them in
different
wrestlers'
places,
entrances, WWE intro. Like, they're not, they don't, they feel like they're very spaced out because they're in random spaces. You'll get a glitch on the screen, like, oh, what was that? And then, and of course, the detectives will come out and find out exactly what it was. I think that's what's making it engaging now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's cool. I think, again, these kinds of things in small doses, again, this is the long-term storytelling that not a lot of people are accustomed to, but it's a good thing. It's a really, really good thing. I apologize because I totally meant to get us ready for tonight, which we will do very quick because we've got quarterfinal matches happening tonight for Ring, and I'm kicking myself because I had stuff for them and just completely forgot to show them to you guys. So let's talk about them really quickly. Tonight on the women's side, we will have, Shayna Baszler and Io Sky. They will battle each other. Lyra Valkyria will take on Zoe Stark. Then on the men's side, Kofi Kingston battles Gunther. And help us, Lord, Jey Uso and Ilya Dragunov. Good Lord. Any thoughts on those King and Queen of the Ring matches?
Io and Shayna is a very hard pick for me. Extremely hard. So I won't make one. I'm just going to look forward to that match. Very surprised they put Kofi over Ray. So maybe the hashtag Woods movement or for Woods is a real thing. But I got to say that I think the buck stops tonight because I think everybody's pick is Gunther, but I'm still sticking with my pick as Jay. I think Jay and Ilya will be the most violent match for those of you who are online saying that Yeet is not a character and that he does not wrestle well. I feel like you're going to see a great Jay Uso match tonight with Ilya Dragunov, and that the underdog will prevail, Jay Uso being the underdog in that match.
Interesting. There's a part of me that's feeling like, whoever ends up fighting Gunther is going to have a great match. But if they're able to run back Gunther and Ilya for the finals on the Raw side, that is going to be a problem. So I do think Ilya versus Jay is going to be amazing. All the matches, I think, are going to be really good tonight. That I love seeing where Lyra Valkyria could go. She could end up going to the next round over Zoe Stark. Io and Shayna, two former NXT Women's Champions, two former WWE Tag Team Champions. It's too close to call. It's too close to call. So we will find
that's
out.
That's a tough one, man.
It is.
Because you want to make Io still feel like there after losing the title. Yeah. And it's like, okay, this would be a perfect spot. Io hasn't even crossed my mind in the entire tournament since this whole thing started.
Wow. Which means it this would be the right time for them to kind of push the button on her if she's able to do it. She certainly can wrestle through it. There's no doubt about that. So we'll see what happens with all of that tonight. Let's see some of the comments out here. Boza says, Lord help us, is right. Ilya versus Dre. Also, that's right. Becky Lynch will face Dakota Kai for the first time ever tonight. So that should be very interesting. Dylan says, Jay may not survive. His soul might leave his body. I agree. Imagine saying one of the best tag team wrestlers is the underdog. Well, that's kind of the case here, given what Ilya Dragunov has done. What do we think of the new bloodline? The new bloodline is pretty vicious. They are pretty vicious, and I'm here for it. Let's see. Queen of the Ring is more intriguing. It is very intriguing. I think both sides are great. I think Gunther seems to be the overwhelming favorite on the men's side, but I don't know that it's a lock with Ilya and with Dre. Not to count out, Jay. Did I say Dre? Jay Uso. I'd say it a couple times. No knock to Kofi Kingston, but I just think everybody is, seeing Gunther blaze his way at least to the Raw final. So, again,
behind King Kofi.
No, don't get me wrong. I can get behind King Kofi, but I just don't. Whatever we've been seeing with the New Day for like the past 2 years just feels like they're enhancement talent. They have not heated up the New Day at all since the whole NXT run versus Pretty Deadly. Yeah.
Very, very interesting. So we will see for sure what happens tonight. Again, Monday Night Raw kicks off in just a few minutes here. Meanwhile, though, how can the people find you, Sid?
You can find me on Twitter at Sid Says, @CWD_SAYS. on the gram at Set Is the Answer. And you can find me on this platform Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And maybe, just maybe, you'll see me on a certain NXT post show this week. Calling it.
All right. I can't wait for that. That ought to be a ton of fun. Of course, you guys can find me at Bonafide across all of the social spaces. You can check out my commentary work. It's in a lot of places right now, and I'm grateful for that. Southern Honor and IWE are on IWTV. Just had a big show with IWE this past weekend, so I imagine that should hit IWTV in the next week or so. You can check out my work on the YouTube page of the Nightmare Factory with the Nightmare Factory Student Showcase 13 that is available right now. Also, my work with Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling is there. We also have some amazing things happening with All Caribbean Wrestling. Check that out. If you go to their page, you will see a ton of matches there from Philly Mania, Say It Loud. I'm on there as well, which is exciting. And we will be heading to some cool places this summer, month of June and July for All Caribbean Wrestling. Really excited about that. The Bahamas, Jamaica, it's going to be a lot of fun. So you guys don't want to miss that. Also, Ashe Wrestling, you can check it out. And I heard we might be hearing a little bit about the card for Ashe coming up very, very soon on these Twitter spaces. I want to make sure before I say it's happened, because it might have happened while we were on. So if that's the case, you guys be on the lookout, follow Ashe Wrestling, and you can see all of the cool things that we have going on for our next show, which is going to be on June the 22nd. More information to come on that. So I'm really, really excited. All right. You can also follow us here at Women's Wrestling Talk, WW Talk Pod, on the socials. WWTalkPod.com is the location for our website. Interviews, content, you name it, it is all there. So make sure you check it out. Post shows are everywhere on just about everything. And we've got merch as well. You can check out a WW Talk Pod. Talk Pod. There it is. www.talkpodstore.com. Shout out to everybody in the chat. DJ Magic J, Boza, Dylan, Cousin Ron, MDB, Eric, Special Little Nobodies. I hope I didn't miss anybody. Cindy O, I see you in there. All the people are here, and I appreciate all that you guys continue to do. Keep rocking with us, because we are Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet. Peace.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at www.talkpod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Now, wait a second. Wait. No. We're still on, because I got breaking news. I don't know if anybody's still in the chat, but I got breaking news. I thought this was going to drop, and it's dropped. Ashe Wrestling, it is official, June the 22nd, and the first match that has been announced. This has got to be big if I'm breaking up our ending for this. First match announced, Jonathan Gresham against Shelton Benjamin.
Yo,
throw the whole thing away. You need to be at Ashe Wrestling June the 22nd. Do you hear me? Shelton Benjamin and Jonathan Gresham. We'll have more about that on Wednesday. Peace.